This is the reading by Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his in government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. This is the gospel of Lord Christ according to Mark. Mark 4, verses 26 to 34. The parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. The night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickles to it, because the harvest has come." The parable of the mustard seed. Again he says, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all. Garden plants with such big branches that the bird can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them. As much as they could understand, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, as we come to your word now, may I speak in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do take your seats again. Okay, if you're not aware, I think we're on the third week, are we, Andy, of the series on the church, and based on I Believe in the Church. This will be loosely based on that, I'd have to say. It's a great subject, but it's massive, so there's no time for messing about today, so I'm just going to get on with it and say what I've got to say. Okay, so I don't know what your understanding is of the kingdom of God, because it doesn't actually get spoken on very much. I know Louisa mentioned it, and she had a definition from Dallas Willard a few weeks ago, remember that? But actually, we don't speak about the kingdom a massive amount, I don't think, in my experience. I don't know either what you've experienced of the kingdom of God, or what you make of it. You can have your own thoughts there for the moment. Anyway, as we heard in our New Testament reading that Paulette read to us, that even Jesus seemed to struggle to put into words what he meant by the kingdom of God, and he never gave a definition as such. He gave pictures and stories and parables. Ooh, it's like this, or it's like that, it's like a seed, oh, it's like, yeah, it's like yeast, it's all kinds of different things, just to entice us, I think, and get us to think it through ourselves. So the first thing I want to say before I sort of get into the meat of this is that the kingdom of God is a mystery. Now, I don't know what you think of mysteries, but I think when I was younger, my heart used to sink at the idea of anything being a mystery, because I wanted to know. But as I get older, I'm aware that I don't and can't know everything. Sorry, folks. And I'm actually more comfortable with not knowing everything than I used to be. So that's a good thing, isn't it? And none of us, whatever we think of the kingdom of God, will see the kingdom of God in all its fullness until Jesus returns in glory to establish his reign and rule once and for all. The kingdom is his, and he will bring it to its complete expression. So our series is on the church, so the and the kingdom today, so there's plenty of material, so I'm going to miss a lot out. This is not going to be a complete sort of lecture on the kingdom of God. It's just not going to happen. So I want to say that I'm for the church, and I would say in as far as it declares and demonstrates God's kingdom. That's my kind of take on this. I do understand also why some people outside or on the edge of church say they're anti-church but pro or at least interested in Jesus Christ. I get that. And Jesus himself talked much more about the kingdom of God than the church. There's about 100 references to the kingdom of God in Matthew, Mark and Luke, and 2 in the Gospels to the church. That doesn't mean to say there's not a lot of stuff about the church in the New Testament, but actually Jesus talked a massive amount more about the kingdom than he did about the church. Interesting. So I want to sort of give us 3 things to think about in recognising that the kingdom of God was really important to Jesus, and therefore should be or needs to be important to us today. First brief point, before I get into my other bits, is to say that just in case anybody's wondering, the kingdom of God and the church are not the same thing. We can see the kingdom of God through the church, I'm not saying that, but they're not the same thing. The church is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God rules, and I want to sort of get into that a little bit. So my first thing that I noticed about the kingdom of God, when I'm thinking about it in comparison to, and sometimes contrast to church, is scale. First of all, the scale of the kingdom of God is much wider and more expansive than most of us in our experience of church. Yeah, sometimes thinking of church, especially in our week in, week out experience in this country, can make us think small. We can think, it can make us think of ourselves and our own needs. It can make us think of past glories and the decline that we see around us in the church in this country in many ways. It can make us think of institutions, of hierarchies, weird job titles, funny clothes, and all sorts of other strange things. It can make us think of those things. I'm not saying it should do this when we think about the church, but it can just narrow our thinking into a particular mindset. And the kingdom of God, by contrast, is just on a different scale. It blows our mind compared to that. The kingdom of God is wide and expansive. It isn't restricted by geographical or institutional boundaries and other man-made rules. It has, within the kingdom of God, it has a wild unpredictability. And I think it's a breath of fresh air compared to the damp fustiness we can sometimes experience when we think about church. Don't know about you, maybe that's not your experience, but sometimes. And I was thinking, actually, as an illustration of this, it's a bit like the kingdom of God is like fresh strawberries, and sometimes our experience of church can be like tinned strawberries. And I was going to bring along an example of some tinned strawberries. And does anybody still eat tinned strawberries? No. Might in the trifle, I suppose, just about. Oh, Andy does. Excellent. But I was going to bring some with me. I got some fresh strawberries, but I couldn't find any tinned strawberries. Perhaps Asda don't sell them anymore, but maybe there are special shops now that you can get them from, or maybe there are dealers out there. I don't know. But anyway, fresh strawberries. If you've never had a fresh strawberry, you might be content with tinned ones, but if you've had a fresh strawberry, canned strawberries just don't do it for you anymore, do they? They're just not the real thing. They don't taste the same, they don't look the same, etc. Anyway, I haven't got that example, so you'll have to go away and think about that and try it at home. Where was I? Yes, so the thing to remember about the scale of this is whatever we may think about the dwindling influence and decline of the church, the visible church if you like, the kingdom of God is everlasting and the kingdom of God is unstoppable. And that's why I wanted to have the Christmas reading from Isaiah 9, because it says basically the government is on his shoulders and the government of God is in, the government or rule or kingdom of God is increasing. It's not like inflation, it goes up and down. That's a given. The kingdom of God, the rule of God is increasing. Whatever we see in our day-to-day life, that is the way that God is taking us. Yeah? So we mustn't forget that the kingdom of God is always increasing. Even if our experience doesn't say that on a day-to-day basis. Actually, God is always at work. And the growth, the yeast, the things that make things grow in the kingdom are always at work. That's a hope for each one. So that's the scale of it, it's different. Secondly, it will impact on our vision, I think, if we have a vision of the kingdom of God. Because if the kingdom of God makes us think bigger, that impacts on our vision, doesn't it? Jesus said the kingdom was at hand, which means you can grasp it. He said it was near, it was here, and it was also not yet. Not going into all that today. But you certainly can't put the kingdom of God in any kind of box that we know, can you? It's like the wind, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. It's like the wind. You can't see it, but you can experience its effects and see what it does. And I think if our vision is restricted to church, whatever that might mean, whether it's bums on seats or whatever it might actually be, then it's an old wineskin. God's kingdom needs ever new wineskins as we approach the glorious coming kingdom in all its fullness. So the vision of where we're going and what the church is about is completely different if we have a concept and an understanding and experience of the kingdom of God. So that's two things. And the third thing, well, if we have a real understanding and experience of the kingdom of God, it's going to impact on our motivation, why we do things. If the kingdom of God impacts on scale and vision, it also refreshes our motivation. The kingdom of God is exciting. It's the real deal. When we experience it, we know it. And we want to see more of God's kingdom, God's breaking in to our lives, not just for ourselves, but for others, whoever they are. God's kingdom breaks in lots of different ways. Whenever we experience peace beyond all reasonable understanding. When a life is changed through healing. When somebody has a revelation of God's wonderful love. Or a sense of God's presence in challenging circumstances. Or a word of wisdom in a work meeting. All sorts of the list could go on endlessly. So I'd say if we want to see more of the kingdom of God, and I certainly do, there is therefore an urgent need to pray and to seek God's face. We need to ask him because it's his kingdom. I mean, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, didn't he? Your kingdom come, or if you prefer it, thy kingdom come. And I think, just as a sort of hint and a tip for all of us really, that makes prayer so much easier. Yeah, prayer can be difficult, we know, but it makes prayer so much easier for all of us. We can just pray in any circumstances, your kingdom come. We can pray, your kingdom come in my life. We can pray, your kingdom come now. We can pray, your kingdom come in my spouse's life, in my home, in my street, in my school, in my supermarket, in my workplace, in this city, in the nation, whatever. Your kingdom come. Anybody can do that, can't they? That's not difficult. That's the go-to prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, isn't it? Your kingdom come. That means we're giving over control of it to him because it's his kingdom. It's not what we're trying to make happen or manipulate. Your kingdom come. Simples. Okay? And just to say on that, in addition to the kind of prayer that we can offer, your kingdom come, We do have opportunities to pray coming up. We have Thy Kingdom Come, 11 days of prayer from Ascension Day through to Pentecost, and Jason has just handed out a leaflet, a booklet to help us with that, so to get our heads around that, take that home and use that. And there will be some more things coming out. I think Sarah is going to be sort of talking about that a bit next week to fire you up for that. So get into that. And also on Pentecost Sunday as well, there's a citywide prayer gathering in the cathedral, which sounds like it'll be quite a lot of fun. And on the notice sheet, it also mentions the fact that I'm going to pray in June. On June the 9th, I'm going to Birmingham and to pray on a trumpet call prayer with a trumpet call prayer day with the World Prayer Centre in the International Convention Centre in the middle of Birmingham. And that is for everybody. The notice sheet, bless her, Sonia, has put it in as a men's prayer day. It's not men's prayer day, it's everybody's prayer day. But I want to take some men, and I've got a ticket for myself and three spare tickets. It's on the notice sheet, so I'd like to take some others with me, and from here, if at all possible. So men, come on, let's do some praying. If you're interested, have a word with me. Okay, that would be good. And so there's lots of different opportunities for that. Okay, and also I'm doing that for the men because on the same day there's a Derby Christian Women's Network prayer day here in Derby, which Liz is leading. And that's on the notice sheet too. Okay, so I think I'll stop there. I won't give my story from the Archbishop of Canterbury, but I can tell you there's a really good story about the kingdom from the Archbishop of Canterbury, which I haven't got time to read now, I don't think. So, let's think about this kingdom. Let's get the kingdom in some sort of way, because it's the God's kingdom that turns everything upside down, and that's what we read about in the New Testament. So let's pray. Father God, as we hear of your kingdom, we learn of your kingdom, we experience your kingdom, we pray more of you, we pray more of your kingdom to come in our individual lives, in our families, in this church, and in your church across this city and this nation and your world. We thank you that your kingdom is increasing on a daily, yearly, eternal basis. And of the increase of your government, there will be no end. Amen.